Word.
Give me that mic, thanks. Duh. Gee, great clap, thanks. Get all the encouragement I can get, that's fantastic. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight, and Lord, as we continue to unpack this series on spiritual gifts, I pray that we would not only hear the words, but we receive fresh revelation on just the incredible, enormous gift that you've given us, a gift that only could come when you went back to sit at the right hand of your Father. And so I pray that you would just anoint me as I minister. Lord God, anoint the hearts and ears of those that hear. And Lord, we look forward to seeing signs following as your word is preached tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I want you to start off by having an expectation that God is going to do something in people's lives tonight. I have an incredible expectation that God is going to heal some people, that we might even see some miracles tonight. And I encourage you, as we go through this set of gifts, this cluster of gifts tonight, that you just allow that faith. I don't know whether you sensed it. I certainly sensed it, that there was just an anointing on that last song. There was a sense that God was orchestrating. You know, the beat, the drums, everything was just in sync with, I think, what God was going to do. And Jules, where are you, Jules? Yeah, I can see you there. That was awesome. Really awesome. You were just right in there. So, last time I spoke, we unpacked those three gifts that I call the knowing gifts or the revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, and again, you can get the notes off the website for that. Don't like the thought, Chris, of not buying CDs. Did we not think of that before we put them up for free? We're going to lose a lot of money here. It'll have to come out of Dave's pay, I'm certain, because you did that, didn't you? Dave's done a great job with a new website, guys. It is just awesome, and I encourage you to get on that and look at it. So tonight we're going to look at the gifts of healing, the gift of working of miracles, and the gift of faith. Through these three power gifts, God can do exploits through us. Now that's important. They are power gifts, they're action gifts, and God can do exploits through us, winning supernatural battles over Satan. And I say Satan because you will see a lot of the outworking, the operation of these gifts is actually taking back from where Satan has robbed and stolen. So the first gift, the gift of healing. Can we have that, Papa? Thanks. The gift of healing is the supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of God that heals the human body without natural means. And I want you to listen to that. I want you to grab it because I say these things really quickly, and I've been living in this for some time now, and as I studied and as I've unpacked all this stuff, and just to get these words clean that we can understand them. The gift of healing is the supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of God that heals the human body without natural means. And as I've done in the last three or last four, prophecy and the last three, start off with what it is not, because if we can see what it's not, then sometimes it makes it clearer as to what it is. So what is not the gift of healing? It is not medical science. Medical science can be learned by anybody. Well, if you've got a brain, that is. And anybody that's not a Christian. You know, I couldn't do medical science. They wouldn't get me in there. That's what I mean about having a brain. But you know, anybody can learn it if you've got the intelligence to learn it and to study it, and if that's a gift that's upon you. But if you're a doctor, you can heal people, but you don't have to be a Christian. And so that's not the gift of healing that's operating. We need to realize that there is often a supernatural element that is at the root of many diseases which cannot be healed by natural means. Okay? It's not Christian science, and again, you can see around us there are Christian science reading rooms, etc., etc. That is a sect, that is a so-called Christian cult, and I hope I'm not being offensive to anybody, but they work from a natural level, they work from a natural realm. They feel that if you can get rid of worry, if you can get rid of fear, if you can get rid of discouragement, if you can get rid of resentment or hatred or unforgiveness, gossip, criticism, then you can prevent a person's body from being sick. That if you get rid of all of those natural things, and I call them natural even though I know that they do have spiritual roots, if you can get rid of those things that we allow to hang on us, then you should be healed. And so if you were sick, and you needed what I would call a gift of healing, a supernatural manifestation of God upon your body, then they would say, well, you've got something wrong with you. You've got fear or worry or gossip, etc., etc. Now, we must deal with those things. There's no doubt about that, and there's no doubt that some of those things open the door for Satan to come in and to cause us to be sick. And in some cases, by getting rid of those, we do make ourselves well. But that's not the gift of healing. That's dealing with something that's robbing us. That's dealing with something that's taking us down. So often, by removing these things, natural healing will take place. And that's not spiritual healing. And that's not the gift of healing that we're talking about. In fact, you can often see this is where the other gifts work in. Because you might be praying for somebody, you might have a word of knowledge, and you might say, look, I just perceive or believe in my heart, God has put in my heart that there's an incredible worry upon you at the moment. And you ask the person, you talk about that with the person, and they explain their worry to you, you pray with them about their worry, and all of a sudden the sickness is gone. That's not the gift of healing. That's dealing with worry, which is being a doorway that's opened up that sickness, that work of darkness that's come in there. In short, when you deal with the root cause, oftentimes the fruit changes. And if you need a gift of healing, if you need one of those supernatural manifestations, then all of those things will not be there, or if they are, it will not be the thing that's stopping you. It's not the gift of spiritism. And I think in every gift that we've talked about and every one that we're going to talk about, there's always the aspect in the negative of spiritism, because Satan counterfeits so much in the world today. You can go up to New Guinea, you can go over into Sri Lanka or one of those countries there, and there'll be witch doctors there. They use occult means, and seemingly people get better. Seemingly people get better. Unfortunately, the sickness is not healed, not supernaturally manifestation of God upon them. That's not God. In fact, the sickness or the disease that they have might go away, but then more often or not, it pops up in some other part of their body, and more often or not, if not in every case, they're worse than what they were at the start. We saw this very, very clearly, Chris and I, when we were in Sri Lanka the last time. There was we were doing a course on spiritual warfare, and we had the opportunity of talking quite a lot to people that had come out of Buddhism, and they were saying that the Buddhist priest would charge you to be prayed for, and they would come to your home, they would charge you money first of all, and expect you to feed them plus the other monks, and then they would pray for you. And oftentimes the people would get better, but it wouldn't be long before they were sick again. But the sickness might not be where it was before, it was in another part of their body, and normally or oftentimes they got so sick that they died. And this was leading to a great spiritual awakening. Because, first of all, the Christian ministers didn't charge you to pray for them. And when you did pray for them, oftentimes they got well and things changed. And so God was using healing and using his supernatural power to manifest himself in a way that people were following after him. So spiritism is not the gift of healing. Neither Christian Science nor spiritism will ever open the eyes of the blind, will ever unstop deaf ears or cast out demons, which are the cause of many sickness and disease. Hear me? Which are the cause of many sickness and disease. Matthew 12:26 says, if Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself, and how can his kingdom stand? Jesus, the Bible says, went about healing everybody who was sick and overcome by the enemy or with disease from the enemy. It's not the remedy of drugs, which can be used by non-Christians. So you can go to a chemist and you can get an antibiotic or a drug. That's not divine healing. That's not the gift of healing. It's not superstition. It's not mental suggestion. It's not psychology. It is only the Spirit of God. So what is it? Next slide, thanks, Phil. The gift of healing is a supernatural healing of diseases and infirmities without natural means of any sort, whether functional, organic, or nervous. You know, there's a great scripture, Hebrews 4:12. It says, the word of God is quick and sharp and powerful, dividing between the soul and the spirit, the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And if you unpack that scripture, if you look at that scripture in itself, you'll realize that the word of God goes into every part of our being. Word of God is quick and sharp and powerful, dividing between soul and the spirit, joints and the marrow. You can't get any deeper than that. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the word of God can go into every aspect of our being. And that's what we need when we need to see the gift of healing move in people's lives. It goes into every part of our body. It is the power of God that destroys the work of the devil in human body. Acts 10:38 says, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And again, another scripture that gives us the indicator that oftentimes that sickness that comes upon our body is from the devil. Jesus used the gift of healing to prove his resurrection power. In Acts 3:15 to 16, it says, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of the fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. So he used the resurrection power, and that scripture proves that. He uses healing to forgive sins, to prove that he can forgive sins. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He uses it to prove that we can build faith and save souls with the gift of healing. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. One of my most favorite scriptures, one of the scriptures that I hang on most of all when it comes to healing, is that people will believe because of what they see. God says that we're going to do greater things than he did. We'll talk about that soon, but that people believe because of what they see. If for no other reason, we want to have healings in our midst. We want to have healings wherever we go because people will believe because of what they see. You know, I'm a lover of my God. I am jealous about my God in the sense that I want people to know how great and how powerful and how mighty my God is. What awesome thing can we do than to actually let people see his power work? Amen? And I think it'd be great if we saw it out there rather than here sometimes. That's what we need to see. The gift of healing confirms his word because his word says it's going to happen. The gift of healing brings glory to his name and blesses his people. He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone and they praised God saying, we've never seen anything like that. We have never seen anything like that. I'm going to have Neil Murray come up later and he's going to share for 10 minutes. I'm going to keep saying 10 minutes so Neil just realises it is 10 minutes because he is a preacher and it will go longer if I don't say 10 minutes. 10 minutes, Murray. But, and Neil. But Neil's going to share some great testimonies of what God did. We have never seen anything like this. I was fortunate, not as fortunate as what Neil has been, but I was fortunate to sit on this platform and to watch people's legs grow. What an awesome thing that is. I've been fortunate enough to sit in meetings and see people delivered. It'd be good if you could turn that off somehow. The gift of healing proves God's love, his compassion, his mercy, his truthfulness, and his honesty. You know, God is not a God who would lie. What he has in here and what he says we can do, we can do. He is an honest, he is a just God. And I hope tonight as we move through these power gifts, these action gifts, that you guys will get some faith to believe that God could use you to do some of these awesome things. One supernatural miracle of healing now, as done in the days of Jesus, I guarantee you will stir up more demons and save more souls than a whole year's worth of messages from this platform. You imagine right now if somebody was raised from the dead off that ground. You imagine right now if somebody who had a disease that was bringing forth death was set free right now, and they had medical statistics that said, you are healed, it has gone, there is no more sign of it. You imagine what that would do in our meetings. You imagine what that would do to the unbelievers who know you out there. The Bible is just so full of examples of healing. It's just an incredible, it's just full of it. You go and read the Acts of the Apostles, it'll blow you away. On the island of Melita, Paul laid hands on Publius, and who was a very sick man, the Bible says, and he was healed. It says this caused people to bring many for healing. It was a spiritual gift that healed, not Luke's medicine chart. You know, when you read through the book of Acts, that is Luke writing a report on the Acts of the Apostles. Luke was the physician. He was the doctor. It wasn't his medical kit. It wasn't him saying, look what I did with my knowledge and all of the training I've had. But he was personally writing the Acts of the Apostles. He was personally writing about the healings, the miracles that were taking place. Things that he couldn't do with the gift, the natural gift that he had. Peter took the lame man by the hand and healed him in the name of Jesus. Again, written by Luke. You know, I could spend, I think, the whole night reading scriptures, testifying to the operation of the gift of healing. What we need to remember is that Jesus said we would do greater works than this right now. 14:12, John, verily, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to my Father. I've heard people say that we don't have the healings that we should have, that Jesus did, because we have sin. Jesus didn't have any sin. That's not what I see this scripture saying. It doesn't say here, because you are sinners and because you have more sin than I ever had, he didn't have any sin, then you can't do what I'm doing. He says, you are going to do greater works than these. Why? We've got his Spirit living within us. The Spirit of God that has given us the ability to do these things. You know, in every case where Jesus sent his people to preach, he told them to heal the sick. He told the 12 in Luke 9. He told the 70 in Luke 19. And in Matthew 28, he told us to go out and to make disciples, to preach the gospel, to raise the dead, to heal the sick. Every time Jesus commissioned people to do his work, he told them to heal. It's about time we did it. It's about time we stepped out and started to see this gift in operation. Amen? Okay, so what about the gift of the working of miracles? You see, these three action gifts work together. They are mighty gifts. They are incredible gifts. They are exciting gifts. The gift of the working of miracles is a supernatural manifestation of God's Spirit doing a supernatural act that none of the other spiritual gifts do. Think about it. If somebody gets healed, is that a miracle? Is it the operation and the outworking of the gift of miracles? No, it's a gift of healing because they get healed. The gift of miracles is anything else that the other gifts don't do. So what isn't it? It's not the miracle of science. You know, as I started looking at the word miracle and started listening, it's amazing how many times we say miracle. It's amazing how many times we call something a miracle. Oh, the miracle of the modern motor car, old people would say. Oh, the miracle of science. Look at that. They've put up that discovery. That rocket ship that went up yesterday, the shuttle. Is it Discovery? That was it? Yeah. Gone up. Oh, and they gave you the millions and millions of miles that it's traveled in its lifetime and how many times it's gone up and down. Oh, the miracle of science. That's not a miracle. That's man's mind doing what God has given them the ability to do. It's natural man dealing with natural laws. We shouldn't use the word miracle as much as we do, unless it is truly a miracle, unless it is supernatural. Again, it's not spiritism. Because again, Satan can counterfeit many of the things you go back and you look at the plagues in Pharaoh. Moses comes and he has this plague and that plague, and Pharaoh brought in his guys and they worked their magic. That's not a miracle. It's not psychology, which is science of the natural mind. So what is it? Well, the Bible says it's signs and it's wonders. In Hebrews 2:4, God also testified to it by signs, by wonders and various miracles, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So we have signs, wonders and miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, it was given to meet the challenge of spiritism. Dave talked about Jesus being put to the cross. Satan's greatest error was to put Jesus to the cross. Because as Dave told us this morning, Satan had power over death until Jesus did the greatest miracle of all and took back the power of death, that we might see resurrection life, both naturally and spiritually. It's always supernatural. It's always contrary to nature. And it's always used to confirm the preached word of God. It builds faith in God's words. In fact, when I wrote that, it builds faith in God's word, I thought to put down, I think it's up there, the opposite. The absence of miracles leads to people doubting God's word. Is that true? The absence of miracles. We need miracles that people would believe God's word. John 5:36, but I have a greater witness than John, my teachings and my miracles. They prove that the Father gave me these works to accomplish, and they prove that he sent me. There is one coming after me, John said. They prove, the miracles that Jesus did proved that his Father had sent him. The miracles that we will do prove that the authority that God has given us through his Son is right. No wonder Gideon said, if I'm a mighty man of God, where are all the miracles? No wonder Moses asked God to go with him and to work miracles. You know, Moses on his knees in front of the burning bush said, God, look, I can't speak. I need someone to help me. And he sends him Aaron to help him. And then he says, and you better come with me and do some miracles too. Because those guys back there knew me. They knew that I was found in the bulrushes. They knew that I was brought up in Pharaoh's courts. They knew that I was trained. They knew that I had education. They're not going to believe what I say unless you come with me and you give me some miracles. No wonder Elisha wanted the same anointed mantle that Elijah had. Now we know why Jesus said that we would do greater things. Therefore, it's time that we start to expect what Mark 16 says. These signs, these wonders, these miracles will follow them that believe. Miracles give power over creation, over death, over demons, and over nature. We'll come to the biblical examples. Miracles cause people to be saved. And denying that miracles happen hinders people from being saved. You imagine when we started off talking about the gifts of the Spirit, one of the things I said, I think it was on second week, was that one of the reasons we don't see them is because people believed that they stopped at the end of the apostolic age. And that there's been teaching or non-teaching about them for a long, long time. The purpose, I believe, that God would have me to be doing this series is that by teaching that we are releasing the gifts of God again afresh into his church. And we should see miracles and healings. Why? That people would be saved. That people would become followers of Christ. So what are some biblical examples of the miracles in the Bible? Peter prayed for the dead woman. Now, if she was dead, a gift of healing would not work, would it? Is that true? So a dead person being raised to life is a miracle. All those in favour say aye. Good. Paul raised a man to life after he'd fallen out of a window. Gift of healing or miracle? Miracle, good. Jesus commanded Lazarus to come forth from the dead. Healing or miracle? He stunk and he was still in his grave clothes, so it must have been a miracle. It says that 9 lepers were healed, but the Bible says that one was made whole. The one that came back and praised Jesus was made whole. Now, some would say, and I believe it to be the case, that he was made whole spiritually, but he was also made whole physically. The one that was healed, their leprosy went. But the ones that was made whole, his nose came back. Better than ever. Fingers came back. Limbs came back. He was made whole. Creative miracle. Jesus turned the water into wine. Miracle. Jesus fed the 5,000. Miracle. Jesus stilled the storm. Miracle. Peter walked on water. Miracle. Moses had power over the rain. Had power over hail. He had power over frogs. That's not the French people, Dave. But he does have power over them. Elijah had power over the rain. God used the gift of miracles throughout the Bible to protect his people. And I believe that's the pace today. So in short, the Bible is a book full of miracles. And our God is a God full of miracles, which he has told us we can do so that people will come to know him. And the last gift of power, the last gift of action, the gift of faith. And all of these gifts tend to flow together, as you can see. The gift of faith is the supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of God that miraculously drops the assurance of the answer to our prayers into our heart. This is the critical bit. Even before we see it come to pass with our natural eyes. As soon as it comes to pass with our natural eyes, it's not a gift of faith because we can see it. So what isn't? What is it not? It is not natural faith which any natural person may possess. In fact, natural faith probably should be called courage or confidence. It's not dead faith which many people have. It's not saving faith, which anyone who becomes a Christian has. It's not the fruit of faith, which Galatians 5:22 tells us that every Christian has. Every time any Christian, any person that is born again, receives the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. It's not general faith. It's not the ambition or natural ability. It's not guesswork or prediction. And I put this one in because it does annoy me when I hear the televangelist saying that if you give me a certain amount of money, then you will have your faith increased. You don't get it by money. So what is it? The spiritual gift of faith is, as Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's believing you have it when you pray. It sounds simple, and again, it's very quick. You can get the notes. You can meditate on this. It's knowing that the roots that you cursed are cursed before you see the tree die. Jesus walked past the fig tree. He cursed it. As they walked back, a couple of days later, the disciples were amazed to see the fig tree dead. And Jesus scolded them because of their unbelief. He cursed it and he kept on walking. He didn't look back to see if it was dying. He just knew that he knew that he knew that it was dead. As I said before, it ceases to be faith when you see it come to pass. The gift of faith trusts for miracles, while the gift of miracles works for miracles. And the gift of faith is for all Christians. So what are the biblical examples of the gift of faith? Job 22:28 says, "You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways." Mark 11 says, I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may it be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. The Spirit gave Elijah the evidence and the assurance that there'd be no rain for 3.5 years. That's the gift of faith. The children of Israel had assurance to walk around Jericho saying, God has given us this city. They didn't walk around that mountain or around that village saying, I hope what Joshua heard was true. We're doing this because Joshua told us. They did it with a gift of faith, having walked and known what God had done in times past. Jesus had the gift of faith to rest his head in that boat when the storm was on, knowing that no calm would come to him. Faith, I believe, is real trust. You will walk out on it. Peter had a gift of faith that brought about the miracle of walking on water. It's an answer to prayer. Sorry, if it's an answer to prayer, then it must have been faith before you had the answer. I think, as I put these ones together, I think that one there, that gift of faith, we see operating more often than what we know. Because as I said, once it comes to pass, it doesn't, it's not a gift of faith then. That shed down there was a gift of faith. True? Once it was built, it wasn't a gift of faith. But buying it was a gift of faith. I think Chris and I have had many gifts of faith. We've seen many miracles. I'd like to see a few more healings. But the gift of faith, I think, is easy. It's just when you know that you know that you know. You know that you know that you know. Neil, come up and share with us for 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Introduce Neil as he comes. Neil is Pastor Trevor Chandler's nephew, and he's been used by God mightily around the world in the operation of what I would call the gift of miracles. And I'd like Neil to share some of those miracles. And the reason I wanted to do that tonight is because I believe that God wants to do some miracles and wants to do some healings. And I want your faith to even be sharpened a little bit more. 10 minutes.
I've just gained a new name, 10-Minute Neil. And I've just got to say the same thing. So great minds think alike. Don't you love him? Hey, I do. I think he's a marvellous. I think the work this church does is really good. Sorry? Is that part of my 10 minutes, is it? Let's go back to when I was 18. I was sitting in a lounge of my grandmother, and this man is sitting across the road, across the room from me, and he's looking at me. And he had asked me to come into the lounge to be with him. And as I looked at him, he didn't do anything except stare. And then he starts saying, God wants you, boy. God wants you, boy. Just like this. And I thought, I don't want God. I'm quite happy the way I am, thanks. And the eventual outcome of all this was that I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And I was so happy that I had done this that I went out into the kitchen where my grandmother was, and she was crippled badly with arthritis. And I was so filled with the power of joy that was just bubbling out of me in every way. I just grabbed her, picked her up out of her bed because she was crippled in bed, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I give you back your legs to walk on. I should have said, give her back her whole body, but I didn't. I just said her legs. And, you know, from that day on till she died, she always walked perfectly. She was crippled with arthritis. You know, that came about because a few months earlier, I had been given a contract. I was an apprentice plumber to go to a town that was 100 miles from where I lived. And in that town, I did the contract plumbing for this house. And the owner of the house was a bit of a Bible basher, and he kept telling me about this Jesus. And I had grown up in a pretty normal Christian home. I had a mother that was a brethren, a father that was an unbeliever. to that point. I gloriously got saved before he died, though. But you see, I'd grown up in this atmosphere, so I knew a bit about God, but this fanatical carrying on about Jesus was just a little bit over the top. Well, anyway, it came time for me to go back to Dunedin, where I lived, and he said to me, I've got an old car out in the garage, he said, out in the hay barn. You can take it back with you, and then when you come back again to finish the house, you can bring it back and everything will be good. Now, me, that was great, a set of wheels. You know, I had no wheels. In my day, you just didn't get wheels like this given to you. So I went out into the old barn, and here's underneath all the hay and all the hen droppings and everything else was an old 36 V8 coupe, side valve V8 coupe. And he said, well, get this thing to go. It hasn't gone for a long time, but he said, I'll pour some petrol down the carburetor and we'll get it to go. And then we had continued this talk about Jesus, and I had this in my mind, and I felt that I wanted to get back to go to Bible class the next Sunday night, well, that Sunday night, because all my friends were there, and I loved the fellowship. And so we poured the petrol down, cleaned her out, poured the petrol in the carburetor, and the old girl roared into life, and I thought I was King Dick. You know, I got a set of wheels, I'm right. You know, even though it was an old black car, it still didn't matter. And so you could see this tar seal through the holes in the floorboards, but it didn't really matter much. So we went off down the road, and the thing's going, and started up, blimp, 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 and next minute it gets further down the road, and it goes, and stops dead. And so I try to get the thing to go, and nothing would happen. So my frustration, I got out of this car and wandered around it a bit, and then I kicked the tire and said, if there's any God around this place, he'll get this car to go. So I got back in the car and I pushed the starter button and it roared into life. Oh, I thought there must be some God somewhere or something. Something got it to go. So we went the 100 miles to Dunedin and it never missed a beat. It got to about 100 yards from our home, my home where I lived with my parents, and it just stopped dead. But I pushed the clutch in, and we had enough momentum to get to the gate, and it just stopped there. So I ran all the way to Bible class. And, you know, next night came up, and I had to try and get this car to go, and there was no way I could get it to go. And, you know, that silly old car, confounded old car, dirty old car, whatever you want to call it, had come all the way from Gore without a petrol pump. And I thought, well, there's a God around here somewhere that could do that. And there was no way we could get that car to go until we put a petrol pump on it. The old petrol pump that was on it was connected up, but the aluminium or the muck metal that it was made of had got water in it, and it was totally seized. There was no way that petrol or anything could get through that pump. And I became a Christian. And, you know, I've always believed, I love faith. Faith puts hairs on your chest. Faith gives you courage. Faith just absolutely drives you into a new world, a higher dimension. It puts you in a place that no man, normal man, could even think of or go to. It gives you just such a courage. And so I've lived my whole life, and now I'm 70, so it's a few years, 71. A few years has gone by since I've lived in this world of faith. And everywhere I go, I try to generate and increase my faith. And God has always helped me. Always helped me. And I think you young people, you know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just because I'm 70 doesn't mean to say inside, you know, I'm still 18. It's only when I walk down the street and I look in the reflection in the shop window, I think, who's that old codger? You know, but I'm still inside, I'm 18. And God has been a miracle God to me every part of my life. And everything I've done, everywhere I go, I see miracles. I see different things happen. And yet some things I can't understand why they happen. Now, I've got a few minutes yet. I think one of the greatest ones that came about was when I was 30 years old. My wife, Mari, was with us. We had a few children. And she developed asthma. And I didn't know what asthma was. I didn't even realize there was such a thing until she got it, but she was so sick, she couldn't get out of bed. She went from about 54 kilos down to about 40. And that was how bad she was. And then there came a time and she said to me, "Neil," she said, "I would like to have a bath." So I got her and put her in the bath and left her there for a while. Then I opened the door to see how she was, and she said, "I'd like it out now." So I got her out of the bath and wrapped her in a towel and lay her on the mat because I couldn't hold her up and dry her and do everything at the same time. And as I lay there, she looked up at me in the eyes, and she looked at me and she said, "Neil," she said, "I've had it. Goodbye. I can't go on." And I thought, hey, we got a few kids, you can't go. And I assumed that she meant she was going to die. And I really believed that that was the case. And she said goodbye, and she just had that finality about her whole spirit. And I was desperate. Sometimes when you want God, you've got to get desperate. Unless you get desperate, you got nothing. You just have to have that understanding of his presence. There's nothing like it in the world. There's nothing can take the place of God's presence. And you know, when every time you go through a trial, you'll always go back to that moment when you're having a trial and you want to find something. You'll always go back to that moment when you first met him. It's part of your existence. It's part of your whole psyche. And anyway, she got there and I heard this whoosh. And I looked up into the corner of the bathroom. Here in the corner of the bathroom was a beautiful golden light, big golden ball, like Ezekiel's ball, if you ever read the story of Ezekiel. Fire within fire, wheels within wheels, some going clockwise, some going anti-clockwise. And I looked at this light and it awestruck me. And all of a sudden I felt so humble and so insignificant. And I said, "Lord, let me do nothing to offend you, because I know that's you up there." And so, pardon me, I went to the door of the bathroom, and I yelled out down the hall to the kids, "Kids, get outside this door and pray as hard as you can." And I can still hear all the little voices, the three or four little voices out there, as they spoke in tongues outside the door. And I sat there and I knelt at Mary's feet, and she had her feet weren't covered by the towel, but the rest of her. And then I watched this light. This beautiful was about, I suppose, a meter in diameter, 600 mil, I don't know. It was, all I know, it was a beautiful light. And I watched it come down and it touched her feet. And then I watched it unroll over her whole body. And I didn't know what to do. There was nothing I could do. I was helpless. I was in a power greater than I have ever been before. I was in a presence that no man, you know, I'd give all the money in the world to be back in that presence. I'd give every feeling I've ever got to be back under his feet. It was so awesome, so powerful, and so honest. There was nothing impure about it. There was nothing to harm. It was just so beautiful, I can't explain it. But it unrolled over her whole body. And then she glowed from head to toe with this light. Then I watched it roll up again. And the kids are still outside the door praying in tongues and doing all that thing. And it gathered at her feet. And I just said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." And then I watched it float back up into the corner of the bathroom, and it sat there for a minute, then it vanished through the wall. And I turned around and I said to Mari, I looked at her, and she opened, well, I didn't say anything because I was awestruck. I was kind of dumb. You know, when you're really in the presence of God, you are struck dumb. You don't, I find a lot of people, forget it, I'm running out of time. But she opened her eyes and she said to me, "Neil, I'm healed. I'm healed." And you know, she stood herself up, she got herself dressed, and she went out into the kitchen and did the ironing. And that would be that, you know, sometimes I can tell a story like I've told it now, but other times the power of God is so great I just cry. because it is just so strong on me. Am I 10 minutes yet? Am I 2 minutes over? I got another 2 minutes. But you know, I find God will put you in places where he wants you to do something. I'll just tell you quickly, about 3 years ago, I was at the doctor's. I was going for a cough. I had a cough and I wanted a healing. I wanted some medicine to heal me. And the old fella across the road, I wasn't watching him much, but a Sri Lankan man sat beside me. And he was a bit of a talker, you know. He would talk on it. I had terrible trouble understanding him because the Sri Lankan English was not exactly as clear as I would like. And I was watching him, and then he turns around and says, look, see what's happening. And I said, no. And I looked around to see the old fella that's sitting the other side of the doctor's room collapse on the floor and just lie there. Next minute, the whole surgery office or the waiting room's in chaos. And everybody's running over, undoing his tie and trying to help him. The doctors came out and everybody's working around with him. And I looked and thought, and the doctor said, well, we think he's dead, sort of thing, you know. And I thought, well, is he dead or not dead? And then all of a sudden, out of all the chaos, I saw his hand just sticking out through all the people. And they're all kneeling there, and the nurses are kneeling there, the doctors kneeling there, they're trying to get him back to life. So I just went up to him and said, well, you know, God puts you in places where he wants you to be. So I just went up and touched him and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I give you back your life. And instantaneously his heart started to beat. And he instantaneously came back to life, just like that. And this little Sri Lankan man saw me come and put the hand on him, and heard me say the prayer. And he said, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? And I said, well, I suppose I am, you know, that way. And then he turned around and he said, I've been a Christian for 13 years. He said, this morning I was praying that I would see a miracle. And he said, I've seen it. And I couldn't keep the guy quiet. He starts leaping all around the waiting room saying, I've seen a miracle. Dr. Pagi, she's an Indian doctor that's in Embryonia Clinic, that's where it happened. He got on to her and says, we've seen a miracle, God's done something. And she turned around and she said, we saw a miracle. She said, I don't know if it was your God or whose God it was. I said, but we saw a miracle today. Somebody came, that man was dead and came back alive. You see, sometimes you've got to take that courage. You've got to take that faith that you believe in. And that's where it comes. You must believe God is what he says he is. You must believe. You have the slightest bit of doubt, nothing will happen. Last night, I was thinking on this because Graham had asked me to come in. I don't know whether this is exactly right, but God spoke to me in the night. And he told me that there was basically two or three young men that are having trouble with hooning spirit. They just can't keep their foot off the accelerator the way God wants them to. And he would like to deal with you because he needs to deal with it for your safety and your testimony. I'm telling you this. This is what I felt the Lord tell me. The third one was, he came to me. The other one, he said, there's a lady. He didn't give me any determinate age or anything like that. But he said she had a horrific childhood. And she is blaming herself, and it's giving her a nervous disorder. He said, but tell her, just tell them that I have nothing against her. I have forgiven her. She had really had nothing to be forgiven because it was not even of her doing. But you see, she is blaming herself and she will not receive the forgiveness that I have given her. She will not receive my comfort because she is still consumed with her own guilt. Now, that's just what I heard. Now, I could go on, but I've done my 10 minutes, so thank you very much. God bless you. And
well done.
Bless you, young fella.
Thank you. We'll let him speak again some other time. Why don't we all stand? But if you're here and those words were for you, then I'd like you to come out the front and stand over here in a minute when we pray, and I'm going to get Neil to pray with you. But before we do, Andy, can we just come back up here? That last song that we sang, Jules, that one that you did the good drumming on, wasn't that? I'd like us to pray for Eddie tonight. Eddie, can you come down the front? Do you mind coming down the front? I'd like us to pray for Trish tonight. Now, I want to pray for anybody that needs the gift of healing operating in their life tonight. That means that medical science has given up on you. They can't do anything. You need a gift of healing. If you're in that situation, I want you to come out straight away. Okay. Now, also I want those that have had that answer to that word of knowledge, if you're here, let's not be embarrassed. The word of knowledge is a fantastic thing for God to move. If you're here and that word of knowledge is for you, don't wait until after the meeting and go and see Neil. The anointed time is now, okay? I want you to come over and just stand over there and Neil will come and pray with you over there. Okay, I'd like the elders to come out. I'd like you to join with me as we pray for each of these people right now. Can we sing that song? Not so loud that we can't pray, but loud enough so you can't hear us pray.